How many of you got nervous when you heard that it was on Psalm 119? I think Ruth did when she got that email saying what she was going to read. This chapter, what's that noise? Is that the wind? It's distracting me. There we go. This chapter, I have been absolutely encouraged and amazed by what's going on in it. There are 176 verses loaded with what God says about His Word. What His Word gives, what He wants us to do with His Word, how He wants us to approach and handle His Word, and what we need to understand and follow His Word. In this chapter, the Bible is clearly identified as coming from God, which is absolutely astounding that God Himself communicated to people that He created. Isn't it? No? Yeah. He communicated to us in a way that lasted beyond 100 AD and will last beyond 2015. It's amazing. God spoke to us and is speaking to us in His Word, through His Word. So going through this chapter is actually listening to God telling us about Himself and how we can respond and live because of Him, what we can have. This chapter is about our relationship with God. Psalm 119 comes in the form of prayers and meditations and reflections and is referred to as the law, promises, decrees, principles, commands, those sorts of words. But basically, it means God's Word, the Bible. The person God used to write these words was someone who was absolutely devoted to the Lord. Someone who experienced evil and hurt and took refuge in the Lord. Someone who cried out to God and retreated to Him and found comfort in Him. It's a psalm of love and strength and devotion and loyalty coming from God and to God, back and forth, this love going on. It's a chapter that is so relevant for our times today. The world is so confused and misguided and clinging to evil, which is not surprising, right? That's not surprising. But what is surprising is how many people who call themselves born-again, Bible-believing worshipers of God through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, how many brush aside God's Word and join the world in calling evil good and good evil. And an obvious one right now is happening with the same-sex relationships, calling it good and promoting an acceptance of it as good and right, and saying that God and the church should condone gay marriage. So there is a massive lack of understanding of Scripture or a brushing aside by people who call themselves Christians. And this is only one of the many topics that we as Christians do this with. So my hope is in Christ that we will grow in our embrace and view of the Bible as God's own word to us, as a window or a door to climb through and live in, that we would delight in God and in His Word. So let's pray and then look at what God says about the Bible. Lord, we ask that You would open our eyes, our minds and our hearts to Your Word. May today be a time when we change how we handle and view Your Word. May today be the day that something has changed in us. And may that come from You, Lord. Please, Father, open our eyes for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I won't be listing all the verses when I point something out. That would be very distracting. I would encourage you to take notes during the sermon And then at some point this week, give yourself about an hour and a half and then read through the chapter on your own, making your own observations, okay? And then you can show me your observations next Sunday. How's that? The Bible is God's word, his self-revelation. And he wants us to obey him. He didn't give his words and preserve his word in order to give us in the information age more information to collect. He wants his word to be carefully obeyed. He even goes so far as to discipline his beloved children to bring us to obedience. So these are not suggestions or opinions or ideas to consider and do if you feel like it. God calls us to obey his word. So God gives us his word, and what we learn from Psalm 119 is that his word is true. It is the truth. It's right. It's perfect. It's good. It's righteous. It's not that it holds some truth. If you search this world for what is truth, what is reality, it is found firstly in the Word of God. God's Word is and will forever be the truth. Therefore, God's Word is entirely trustworthy. And so there is no other standard or instructions by which God will deal with us, will interact with us, because his Word is the measurement of holiness. These are just some descriptions that we understand a little bit about how wonderful his word is. God's word actually is sweet tasting to the hunger every person has and tries to quench. Every person has a hunger for more, for fulfillment. And that hunger is of God and his word. And here it is satisfied, not in a new car or a trip to Mexico. That longing search to feed on truth, it is here. It's right here. And in his word, God gives many things. He gives guidance. He gives us guidance on how to live in his love in all of life. Not just Sunday morning Christian life, all of life, your entire work, your relationships, the schooling, teenagers, kids, it doesn't matter who you are. He gives us guidance right here on how to live in his will, to live for him according to him, which is the right and the best way. From the Bible, we know what sin is and how to stay away from evil. His word even keeps us from lying to ourselves. We do that. We lie to ourselves. Edgar, you're pretty good. You're not doing that much sinning lately. What? Yes, you are. Yes, I am. Oh, man. The word of God keeps us from lying to ourselves because it exposes sin and evil in us and in the world that we live in. From the Bible, God gives us counsel. He gives us wisdom and understanding to what is happening in life and in the world. You want to know what's happening in the world? Here's the way to understand it. It's in God's word that we recognize worthless things of the world and turn to real life. He gives us his wisdom on how to live in this world. We live in an incredibly wealthy society. So how should Christians live in this wealthy society? The Bible tells us. We have computer screens in front of us at all times. How should we use them? God gives us counsel, wisdom, understanding on these things and life. And he doesn't stop. He doesn't stop there. In the Bible, we hear God give us comfort and peace, and he strengthens us. He revives us from discouragement through the Bible. How does he do that? Well, one way is he reassures us of who we are and who he is. He reassures us of his love for us, of our salvation, and of our safety in him, of his love for the world and how he sustains us. And as we are taking in God's word, as his truth shapes our thinking and our believing, his word generates thankfulness and praise for him. This singing of the heart, a delight and joy in God and in his truth, even in hard situations. And there's more. As God's word is replacing our wrong thinking and believing, our hearts and souls are being satisfied and they're being quenched. And this results in us longing for more of his word. In other words, as we read and study God's word, we are being blessed and crave more blessings. As we read and study the Bible, we grow in our desire to read and study it more. Study not just for the sake of knowing it, but to live it, to live in it, to do what he says, think like he says, believe like he says, be in relationships with him like he says, to live in the reality of the Lord. Bring it, Lord. How can we live this way? Well, the Lord has redeemed us by his grace through faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now we can live in God's truth and live in obedience to his truth. God wants us to live that way. And he works in us so that we can live in obedience to him. What God has done is he blesses us by opening our eyes to his word, which means he gives us understanding of his word. We get what he is saying, what he means, and he teaches us his ways, how to live out what we now understand. He gives us understanding of his word and the application of living out his word. But not only does he bless us with understanding his truth, and by teaching us how to apply and live out his truth, he blesses us with the ability to live the way that he wants us to live. So out of his love for us, he keeps us from being overtaken by sin. He keeps us from wandering. He makes us strong in obedience to him, leading us on his path, turning our eyes from worthless things and fixing them on him. Isn't that great? He gives us his truth of fullness of life in him, brings us into that fullness in him, and keeps us there. He gives us the Bible, gives us understanding of the Bible, and keeps us living according to the Bible. That's what he does. Do we live in perfect obedience? Yes and no. We sin, and God is making us more Christ-like. So we are sinning less, even if we don't always recognize it. But Jesus is sinless. He lived with and for God in perfect relationship. And Christ's perfect relationship is accredited to us who are saved. So big picture, we are sinning, but gradually sinning less. And we are sinless before God because we are in Christ. So we are living this way, and we are not living this way. Did you catch that? That's a pretty amazing position to be in with the Lord. Because of God's good work in us, enabling us to enjoy God in obedience to him and living in his truth, the writer of Psalm 119 has incredible hope and determination. Determination. He does awesome things and asks God for awesome things. All things that we can set our sights on, because this guy, this writer, represents a worshiper of God, which we are through Jesus Christ. We can live and enjoy God in his way because our hope and dependence is on him, not on ourselves. And so we can be determined to do a number of things. We can be determined to obey God, to follow his word, not just in a, oh, I wish I could follow God type of a way, but I will follow the Lord. I will follow the Lord. Because of our sinfulness and past sin, we don't really talk that assertively about obedience at all anymore. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned this morning and yesterday. And then we, you know, just get back a little bit and go, if only I could obey God. Will you obey God, Edgar? Yeah, I'm going to try. No, we can obey God. And we can say, God, I am going to obey you. You are my Lord. This writer says over and over again, I fix my eyes on your word. I will keep your word. I have chosen to live for you. I set your rules before me. I will cling to your word. I will run in your ways. I will observe your word with my whole heart. I do not turn away from your word. I promise to keep your words. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. I will not forget your word. I search your ways. I hold back my feet from evil in order to follow your word. Even in hard times and persecution, I do not swerve from your word. Who talks like that? Who wants to talk like that? This writer set his mind and heart on loving God by obeying and enjoying him, because he is not dependent on himself to do it. He is not dependent on his own strength and intelligence to stay away from evil and follow God's word. He knows he is small and he is weak. This is all about God doing his power, his work in us and to us, and enabling and empowering us. God will keep evil from us and sustain us in all kinds of ways we don't even know or notice. And he will give us strength and joy and infuse our determination to live for his glory. Even that desire and determination for obedience comes from him. We can do what this writer talks about. You know, he stores up God's word in his heart. He studies and meditates and concentrates and reflects on God's word. How many, does that describe us? Oh, Edgar studies and meditates and concentrates and reflects on God's word. It's incredible. Oh, this guy searches God's word. And as he's doing this, he grows in his love for God's word. And listen to this. He stands in awe of his word. It's even better. He longs for God's commandments. He sees God's word as most valuable, more than anything life has to offer. He rejoices in God's word. He delights in God's word and therefore declares God's word to people. How could this not happen to someone who is exposed to God's truth? How could we not long for more of him, hold God and his word as most valuable? We are always ready to stand in awe of something or long for something. Always. We're blown away by scenery, music, by people, and those are just scratching the surface to the beauty that rests in God's word. God creates this determination and amazement in his children. He keeps us in his way, depending on him. This writer is so dependent on God, he says, God, don't give up on me. Don't let me wander from your commands. Turn my heart toward you and not myself. God brought us into this relationship with him and is keeping us there and expanding our understanding and reality of how good he is. Loving God is loving his word, because his word is an extension of who he is. The Bible is like the window or a door to understanding the one and only God over all. It makes no sense. It makes no sense to stay away from His word if you are a born-again Christian, if you're a worshiper of God. Makes no sense. None. This passage says, those who wander from God's word are rebuked. They are rejected by Him. It's the arrogant who reject God's word. Those who are wicked, who are faithless, those who persecute God's children and won't receive salvation, they stay away from God's word. If that's you, if that describes you, then it makes sense that you stay away from God's word and don't pick up the Bible, that you're not interested in it, that you know nothing about it, that you don't grow in understanding, that you don't obey the Bible. That makes sense. That makes sense. But if you're a Christian, what only makes sense is growing in all of these things that Psalm 119 says, which includes jumping into God's word, growing in love for Him and His word, reading and studying and reflecting on our Lord and Savior over and over again, and living in loving obedience to the awesome Lord and recognizing Him, how heavily involved He is in life and how incredibly precious we are to Him and how incredibly beautiful He is. Does any of Psalm 119 sound like your relationship with God? Would you like it to? Would you like it to? Perhaps you need a disciplined reading plan instead of just reading the Bible when you feel like it. Perhaps you just need a good study tool to help you get over some of the bumps that stall you in your understanding of Scripture. Maybe you just need to get into God's word to actually stay into God's word. The Bible is God's word and is rich for all of life. He gives us comfort, guidance, correction, joy, understanding, strength, peace in specific daily areas. And His word gives us an all-encompassing way to view everything according to Him. So when something like same-sex marriage comes up, we go, wait, that doesn't sound right. God made sex for marriage and marriage to be between one man and one woman. But God's word doesn't just let us stop there. God leads us to His intent for marriage, which is this beautiful love affair of self-sacrifice and cherishing one another, a display of what the relationship between Christ and the church is like. Do you know what I'm getting at? It's not just, oh, what do I do in this situation? That's there. But rather, there is the way of thinking about everything. Here is the way to think and live about everything, the Bible. So guess what? There are thousands of items more than same-sex marriage where we will be on the outside of popular opinion. Get used to it. We are living for King Jesus and the kingdom of God in this world. Get used to it. Get used to it. Church, abundant life is found in our Lord, and His word is here. This will direct you to what you crave. This is the way of God. So church, let's be people of God's word. Let's be lovers of God and lovers of His word. Amen. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to move into communion, the celebration that we get to do, which is completely based on God's word. Let's pray together. Lord, expose to us our attitude towards Scripture. Expose that to us, Lord. Lord, line up our thinking and our receiving of Scripture according to how You want it. according to you. Lord, may we hold up and enjoy, working our way through your word. May we enjoy seeing all your connections, your huge themes throughout the whole scriptures. May we see that, Lord. May we recognize you in our daily lives through your word, how you speak to us. Lord, may we be sold out to you. May we be studying your word and spending as much time in your word as we do on our phones and on our computers and on the TV. Wow, that would be awesome. Lord, bring it. Bring it, Lord. Because we want to live for you an abundant life, bringing glory to you in this world that is chasing after everything and anything. You're our King. We belong to your kingdom. We are your children. We love you. Draw us in close. Draw us in tight. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen. Amen. Those of you that are helping